part of the, I don't even know what lesson number it was, number 9, page 52, we're going to be spending the majority of our time in Proverbs 31, from verse 10 through the end of the chapter. And I hope that everybody had a chance to read through the few paragraphs that I had written down in the book, going through this, some of the highlights, I guess you'd say, of these verses. We're going to take a chance here to do something we haven't been doing. I'm going to just read these verses first from verse 10 through the end of the chapter so that everybody can hear them one time through. And then we're going to go back and just briefly discuss it, and then we can kind of go verse by verse as y'all want to. And hopefully y'all have some comments and thoughts on all these verses. In verse 10 it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trust her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She will rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." This is probably the most specific list of attributes for women in the Bible, and guidance on what constitutes, you might say, a virtuous wife. What's interesting is it wasn't written directly to women. It was written by a woman to her son in instruction that this is what you need to look for in a wife. And so she starts with a question: who can find a virtuous wife? And so as you look at this list, it says, who can find one? This is a difficult thing, to find somebody that follows through with life and with these attributes. But while you're looking and while you're considering and while you're considering the relationships that you're in, consider these attributes and take account of what you see in that person. Of course, you know, you think about a young man looking to take a young wife, and you think, well, how is it that she already has maidservants and already has vineyards and already has all these things together that he's going to be able to see what she is? But the character of a person and the focus, even at their very young age, and the family that they come from and the life that they live in that family and the perception of the teaching that he can see are all telltales of the type of person and the character she is and the things that she's going to bring to their relationship. Another thing that I think is part of the focus here is his ability to grow with her in that relationship so that she can become these things. You know, we see in a few verses that he safely trusts in her. It says in verse 11, "The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain." how do you get that trust, but to grow in that relationship, to communicate, to be able to have conversations, to respect her, to love her, to hold her in high regard so that you can learn about her, she can learn about you, you can understand one another's needs, and so that you build that trust and so that you can safely trust in the other person. And of course, that goes reciprocates between the two in that relationship. But looking for and promoting your wife and promoting her through life, and then a young lady being taught and brought up to understand that this is her obligation as in her life as an adult and as a mother, as a wife, as an influencer in her community, in every way, her talent needs to be used, her energy needs to be used. Everything that she does needs to be to the best of her ability and obviously to the glory of God. And so that should be her focus. So as we think about our daughters and our granddaughters and the people that we have direct influence on, we need to consider a kind of wholesale all of these things and how we are instructing them to prepare themselves and prepare their lives for their future life with their family and their husband and their businesses and their jobs and all the things that they're involved in, and taking it serious and not just gratifying their passions and their desires in life, but rather seeking to serve and to work and to be profitable, and not just profitable money-wise, but profitable as a servant of the Lord, so that they can bring glory to God, and so that, as our title of our lesson was, that the word of the Lord may not be blasphemed. And so while we're talking about in our first part of our lesson, we talked about the idea that they were to be keepers of the home and chaste and discreet, and to be all of these descriptive words from there. Now you see this person that is still has those qualities, but is also very on top of things and is not just sitting at home waiting for somebody to bring them sustenance and whatever. They're going out and they're very productive, and they are producing for the family, and they're contributing to the family, not in small ways, but actually in very big ways. When we talk about some of the verses in Peter and Titus and Timothy, you know, words like meek and quiet spirit, chaste and submission, I think some people kind of describe women that way and try to put women in a box and say, you need to just be over there and be quiet and leave everybody alone, and we'll make the decisions. We're the men. We're the whatever. Bruce is laughing. Does that work, Bruce? Okay. But what you see here is that women very much have a function in this relationship of drive and of influence and of a spirit that brings knowledge and wisdom to the relationship and holds their family, you know, at a higher level, holds them to account. And so you see her influence wielded when you see the relationship she has with her husband and her husband's relationship with the community. He's sitting in the gates that we read there, sitting in the gates. Why? Because of her character and the kind of person she was and the influence that she had. I'm sure that there was a great deal of his own efforts there, but it was a reflection on him to have her there. And so it's not, you know, when we think about meekness, that idea of control over yourself and power, you know, your own power of and having that in control, or your quiet, respectful spirit, not being flashy all the time that we've read in the New Testament. And then, you know, chaste, being not being wild, but being discreet and careful in your conduct. And then to submit, being willing to submit within the parameters and the roles that God's given you. Those are all qualities that you'll see still adhered to in these group of verses in Proverbs 31. But you also see the very productive side of this individual. And so as we read through these verses and kind of parse them out, think about the fact that this is not somebody that's just sitting there waiting for a handout from her husband or from her family. This is somebody who's doing and being productive and is getting out there, not content, as I said in one of the paragraphs, with the status quo of the normal society. They want more out of life. Anybody have any thoughts or comments overall there? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
I think it's interesting that you pointed out, verse 1, that the words of King Lemuel in the prophecy that his mother taught him. So this seems to be a mother saying to her son, who is not yet married, but is of the age where he should be at least considering marriage, at least considering women. And she's aware of that. And basically, if you boil this all down, she's saying, be careful what you're attracted to. In the last couple of verses, you know, verse 30, the favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And that is
go ahead. Right. to Sherry's point earlier, you see the very agrarian side of this comments and the things that are involved in there. But I think that the application in any culture, in any time period, can be made as far as the way that people, the expectation of godliness coming out in the relationship. You know, if you live in a suburban area or an urban area, or you live way out in the middle of nowhere, you know, your interaction in your family unit is going to be different, you know, depending on your culture and your resources, everything. I dare say that I don't think anybody in here has ever gone out. Any women here have gone out and bought a vineyard lately. Probably none of them in their life. So, you know, as far as that particular element, we're not saying, and I don't think we need to read into this, that if a woman doesn't do everything in this list exactly the way it is, well, you're not a productive, godly woman. What we're talking about is the principles behind the attitude and the things that are behind it, and what initiative are we taking as Christians and followers of God to be godly, for husbands and wives to be able to have the proper relationship that they need to have, and so that they can assume their roles and do their roles and perform the roles the right way and in the godly way. And what you see is that while she's being submissive and while she's relating to her husband and she's taking care of her kids, she's also being highly productive and is bringing her best to the relationship. Whatever your best is, we all have different talents, we all have different abilities, and we have different opportunities, but it is our job to bring everything we have. Husbands and wives, we've got to do the best we can in our relationship. She was obviously multi-talented and had a lot of opportunities and a lot of abilities. You think about her in reflection to her maidservants. Did her maidservants have the same opportunities that she had? No, but she was having a positive influence on them so that they in their relationships would be the kind of person that they ought to be. But they highly doubt that they were going to go out and be buying vineyards and running their business, you know, at the same time. And so even people at different economic places in their life are going to have different outcomes. But the spiritual side of it, to Doug's point at the end there, is the main focus of the whole thing. You know, we've talked about a little bit in a couple of other lessons, the choice of a mate and the relationships that you choose to go into, even your friends, you choose to the friends that you have. You know, we're all born into families. We all have a family that we come from that we don't have any choice on one way or the other. And for good or bad, they may be great family, they may be terrible family. But we make the choices as we grow up on who we surround ourselves with. In this case, you're choosing, and this boy's mother is telling him, you're choosing the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. What kind of choice are you making, and how is that outcome for you going to turn out by the choice you make? And so she's trying to impress on him that you could make this choice, and it could feel good, and you could serve your passions for now. But the person that you choose to work with and that's going to have the most influence daily in your life and is going to constantly either build you up or bring you down is this wife that you're looking for. And so he says, seek a virtuous wife. A virtuous wife is one with valor, somebody who's stoic in their approach to things and is conscientious in everything they do. And so he says, find somebody that's virtuous in their approach so that you don't have to fear for your life. You don't have to fear for your sustenance. You don't have to fear for your children's souls. You don't have to fear for your household. You don't have to worry about where your next meal is coming from, because even though you were trying to make a living, she was wasting it. You know, on top of her not wasting what you're doing, he safely trusts in her. She's going out and providing and trying to help to shore them up on her own. And so in every way, look for somebody who's compatible that supports you. When we choose our friends, setting aside this marriage relationship, you choose friends, and we need an inner circle of friends, however many that is, 2, 3, 4, maybe it's only one, but an inner circle of people that bring to our remembrance truth and righteousness and goodness, and that remind us to do what's right at all times. Who should be, or who probably is going to be, the closest in that inner circle? It's probably going to be your spouse. If it's not, you've got probably a broken relationship. But your spouse is going to be the one that's closer than anybody else. And while you may have someone that you rely on, or that you put some of your issues on, and you ask them advice, and you're looking for help, your spouse is intimately has knowledge of you that probably nobody else does, and they know your character better. And so, if you find somebody that's shallow and that's beautiful, that has great social aptitude, they can go out and light up a crowd, you know, and they're a social butterfly, and you find somebody like that, and then you wonder. Oh, I forgot you raised your hand. I thought you were saying that's what you got, was a social butterfly. Oh, okay, go ahead. You like people? You like them? Okay.
If you look at the first through the ninth chapter, it talks about Proverbs, it talks about wisdom. At the end of the book, there's an application of all that I have been talking about, and particularly if it's a woman. I think that you need how he applies all the wisdom, and look at what she is doing. Showing you, yes, I'll give you these chapters here, 9, talking about wisdom and things. You can put them into your life and use them in your life and see what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Look at her, because she's a wise woman, and her husband got all the faith and the trust in her, because he's seen her in action, knows her character and things, and he knows he can rely upon her, that she does have great wisdom, and she proves it by different forms. Now, her home, business, she uses this wisdom, but she uses it in the right way. It's not about her. It's about helping other people, helping her husband, helping her family, helping her. She's got servants, so she's fairly well. She provides for the servants too. So she can see she's not fluking time or not anything like that. So she works. And she's as good as that. Not only for her children, but for everybody that sees her around her. And her husband knows that. And that's the reason he can go to sit at the gate and stand there too. Now, it's not saying anything that he's dumb, because he knows, he's got wisdom too. Because he picked her. So he saw something.
That's right.
He says, you know, she is far more than ruby. It means basically her dowry is tremendous. You just couldn't get her for a donkey or a goat or something like that.
I'm bringing you to my negotiating table when my girls decide to get married. We're not taking no donkeys and no goats. Yes, sir.
She can't help that she's beautiful any more than
Yeah, well, we know from in Timothy and from here, the focus is not on the beauty, and it's not that beauty is bad, it's that the focus is on the spiritual inward beauty that we all need to be focused on. Yes, ma'am. Right.
So it's as you say, it's got to be a partnership.
Yeah, he specifically says there about verse 3 or 4, or she says to him, don't drink wine, because once you're drunk, you're not going to have the inhibitions to be able to lead and make good judgments and those kind of things, right? So she's focusing on his wisdom and then his wise choice and who he picks as a mate and how that she will make him a better person and, you know, to make him prove.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen that a lot. I mean, I know a lot of people personally that have had that, you know, the builders and stuff that, you know, they had whole subdivisions, they're making lots of money, and then as soon as they go bankrupt, their wife is the first one that ditches them and is out of there. Do I get more makeup? I don't think it would. No, she'll buy him a bag to put on his head. That's right. Yeah. You know, and to this point of this long-term relationship, him sitting in the gates was not when he was 22 years old and just got married. You see what I'm saying? That's a long-term thing where where his wisdom is sought after, and people appreciate him being there. And so this is a long-term relationship we're looking at in this picture that she's painting. She's not saying, look at this, you know, look for a girl that seems spiritually minded, that seems this way right now. You want to know emphatically that this is the result, and how are you going to get there? Everybody's looking at each other right now. Maybe they're using the same makeup. And ones that aren't what they're supposed to be.
Right. You know, you can, you know, you're looking for a wife. First of all, look at these marriages that work. Look at these couples that you respect. And look what they bring to the marriage. That's what you want your marriage to be. Don't let it be superficial. You know, I'm not saying you can't find a virtuous wife. They're everywhere. In this congregation, they're everywhere. Okay? And we all know that, and praise God for it. It's not easy. Yeah. It's not easy for them to be a virtuous wife. It's not easy for a husband to be a virtuous husband, but they first of all submitted themselves to God.
Right.
And so both of them bring that submission to God in marriage to complement each other in glorifying God in the life that they live together.
Anybody else on that point? Yes, ma'am.
Well, because of what Doug said, they have that commitment for better, for worse, for good times, for bad times, sickness or health. The whole nine yards is the commitment to that.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what John was talking about, is this idea of jumping in and out of the relationship, because the commitment was only based off the power, the money, the whatever it is, and it's superficial. And so looking at these other couples and taking instruction from them and reflecting on that tells you that it's not about those things. If you're a completely poor as a pauper, and your wife is, and you get married, you can have this virtuous relationship all the way through, no matter what. Going back to what Dale mentioned a minute ago, turn over back to Proverbs chapter 6, I think it is. Well, chapter 5 and 6. I was trying to find a second ago the verse I was thinking of. Maybe y'all figure out where it's at. But in that couple of chapters, there is... I'll tell you, it's in chapter 7, verse 6. I just saw it. For at the window of my house, I looked through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived, and that simple is important there, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took her the path of her house in the twilight of the evening. We know what comes next. So he goes into, he's a simple-minded, lacking wisdom, and he goes into a harlot, but is she a single individual? What is she? She's married. Why do we know that? She says, my husband's far away. Come in. I've prepared this bed, right? So you were talking about the reflection of the earlier chapters versus the later, you know. What kind of woman are we looking for? Well, he's looking for a wife, a virtuous wife, not a harlot, and not just a one-night stand. But then look at the poor fellow who's out of town, what his wife is doing, you know. And you think about that, the complete night and day difference between what is described from two different women in the same book, just a few chapters apart. So You have a young man devoid of understanding, no wisdom, lacking wisdom, looking for a passionate, superficial relationship. And then you have a woman whose only relationship is based off of her lust and her whatever. And so she's going out looking for someone instead of her husband. Can her husband safely trust in her? No, Dale. So you have these relationships that are completely devoid of wisdom, devoid of understanding, devoid of righteousness, and the behaviors that are not what we're seeing in the latter part of this book. I appreciate that comment that Dale made, bringing that to our attention. But the thing is, there is a lot to learn, and I don't want the takeaway to be that you need to start going out and weaving wool garments and making linen and selling to the merchants, and that you have to have your own business at home, or that you've got your own factory down the street, or anything like that. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is the woman that takes her godly opportunities very seriously, does everything she can do to promote her family and her children and the people around her to be righteous, and by her good example brings good influence to those around her and supports them. And I think that's probably the most important takeaway, is that she's righteous. There are those last couple of verses that have been mentioned. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise from the gate. So all the things that she does, she deserves, because she worked hard and she promoted her family. And so when all of those things come full circle, she deserves to be exalted and praised by all those that are around her. But the reason that she does that, the reason she's successful, the reason that she's capable, and all those blessings flow to her, is because of her relationship with God and her pursuit of righteousness ahead of everything else. We are 1 minute out of time. Anything else anybody wants to comment or say? That's right. Right. Of course, we know we're. Do what? Yeah. All right. Any other comments? All right. Thank you.